Today, on The Journey.
We got to be discerning. We got battles going on within us, and we got people trying to deceive us from the outside. And we have to be those who know the truth so that we can discern error.
Believer, you have been enabled and trusted and empowered to know the truth by the Holy Spirit who lives in you. You're able to discern truth from error. Today, Ron Moore examines that anointing so you can walk in the light. First, I want you to know about Ron's life-changing publication on prayer. It's titled Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. This 63-page booklet explores the often mystifying practice of prayer with thoughts gleaned from key scripture passages. It's available for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Anointed, on the Journey.
1 John chapter 2, we're going to look today at verses 18 through 27. Before we do that, quick review of John's first epistle. John is one of the 12 disciples. He's the last living disciple at this point. The year is around 85 to 95 AD. During that time, he wrote 5 books. He wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And then he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And from Patmos, he wrote the Revelation. He was released and he was able to live out the rest of his days in Ephesus. John was told by Jesus to take care of my mother. Remember, Jesus said that from the cross, and John did that. Church history says he did that till Mary died. That was in Jerusalem, and then he moved to Ephesus. And John, from Ephesus, writes 3 letters to the surrounding churches. Most of them would have been the 7 churches we read about in the book of Revelation. We have 5 reasons he wrote this letter to these surrounding churches. 1, he said, I want you to know that in Christ you have a sense of belonging. Here's a place you can come and you can get connected and you can know each other and you have someone to walk through life with you. John uses the word fellowship to talk about belonging. He also talks about helping believers experience true joy regardless of your circumstance. Here's the true joy that you can have. Thirdly, to help believers from falling into patterns of sin. We all are susceptible to that, even as believers, and John warns us and shows us where some of the obstacles are. 4, to guard believers against false teaching. We'll see that today. And 5, to allow believers to know beyond any doubt that they are children of God and will forever be. 1 John 5:13 says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so you can know, not wish, not hope, not think, not wait till the end and hope it works out. But you can know right now that you have eternal life. Now, all those 5 purposes are kind of woven throughout John's writing. And today we come to the purpose, I want to warn you against false teaching. In Ephesus, there was a lot of false teaching. It's interesting, 30 years prior, Paul had sent Timothy to Ephesus to stay there and teach against the false teachers. And so this has been going on for a long time in Ephesus. And so John is going to address it. So what I want to do is work our way through 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 27. And then I want to emphasize 3 things from this passage. First, John says, children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. So now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. He's reminding the people, okay, I got something kind of new to tell you here. So he's kind of resetting. He is speaking to believers. He will address the believers as children or little children or beloved. It is the last hour, he says. When you look at scripture and you read the last hour or final hour, it's the period of time when Jesus came to earth, the incarnation, and then the last hour ends when Jesus comes back. So, from Acts chapter 1, when Jesus ascended into heaven, we're living in the last hour. So all those in the New Testament, all those in the 2nd century, 3rd century, all the way up to today, we are living in the last hour. And you say, well, that's a long time. Maybe he's not coming back. Peter addresses that in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, when he says this, You don't give up on God because he says to the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as one day. God's timing is not our timing. John says, it's the last hour, and as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming, and so many Antichrists have come now. Let's just talk about that. There is going to be one at the end of time, and he is going to stand against God. He is going to be the Christ counterfeit, and he is going to have everyone bowing down before him. Now, in an age of technology, we see how that could happen. John calls the Antichrist in Revelation the beast. Revelation 13, Revelation 17. Paul calls the Antichrist by another name. He calls the Antichrist the man of lawlessness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, he says this, man of lawlessness, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called god or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. So one day this person, whoever that person is going to set himself up against God. Going to be a lot of things going on during that time where this person will be the ruler of the world and will have people bowing down before him. That will be the Antichrist. Now, through history, there are a lot of people who have supposed who the Antichrist might be. In John's day, you know who people thought it was? Nero, the emperor of Rome, who brought this great persecution against him. In fact, later on in the 5th century, Jerome and Augustine write that there are still people who think that John never died and that he's going to come back and he's going to point to Nero as being the Antichrist. And Nero is somehow going to resurrect from the dead. There was that kind of myth going on. In World War II, they thought it was Hitler or thought it was Mussolini. The point is, we don't know who the Antichrist is. And John is saying, right now, for what we're going to talk about today, it doesn't even matter. You know what I find? I think a lot of people make a hobby out of the end times. But John's saying, don't do that. That's going to happen. Be aware. Be ready. But John says, don't worry about who it is. You got to know right now, today, there are antichrists here. They have come. And an antichrist is someone who opposes Jesus, a false teacher, a false prophet. John says, we don't have to figure out who the Antichrist is. Antichrists have come. False teachers are here. Therefore, we know it is the last hour. Now, how do you know if a person is a false teacher? How do you know if a person is a false prophet? How do you know if a person is taking on the spirit of an Antichrist? Well, John says in chapter 2, verse 19, these Antichrists, these false teachers, they went out from us. So these were people in the church, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be plain they were not of us. What's John saying? There's a group of people in the church. They were false teachers. They got confronted. They left the church and went off on their own. John says that's one of the ways we know they are antichrist. When confronted, they don't repent and get right. They leave. They were with us, but they were not believers. Had they been believers, they would have stayed. But as a demonstration, they were not believers. They left. And John says they're still out there and they're still trying to deceive those in the church. So you got to stay away from this false teaching. Look at chapter 2, verse 26. I write these things to you about those, the Antichrist, who are trying to deceive you. You're a believer, but they know if they can deceive you, they can make you ineffective for what God has called you to do. And what are these Antichrists teaching? In John's day, one of the major issues was this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22. Who is the liar, who is the Antichrist, but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. Here's what John is saying. In the church, in that day, and in our day, there are people who deny the full work of Jesus Christ. And they deny that Jesus is God's Son, that he is Jesus the Christ, or Jesus the Messiah. And by doing so, John says, they are denying both the Father and the Son. Here's the bottom line. You cannot love God without Jesus. It is a package deal. You cannot love God without loving Jesus. In John's day, there were a lot of false teachers, and there was one big group that is addressed throughout church history. It's addressed by the church fathers. The church fathers would have been those after the disciples. The next group of church leaders are called the church fathers, Irenaeus, Ignatius, Justin Martyr. And they're still writing about this thing called Gnosticism. And Gnosticism was this big umbrella that denied the deity of Christ. And under Gnosticism, there were several sects. There's a guy named Cerinthus, who lived around 100 AD, and he was a Gnostic Jewish Christian, and he claimed Jesus was born only a man, and then the Spirit came on him for a while and then left him again at the crucifixion. John specifically here is saying there are those who deny that Jesus is the Christ. There are those who deny that Jesus is God, and that's heresy. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 23. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son, trusts in Jesus, has the Father also. You cannot have a relationship with God without Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says in the Gospel of John. For the Father judges no one, but has given judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father. You cannot have a relationship with God without Jesus, period, the end. So John says these false teachers are coming in. They are trying to shatter the foundation of our Christian faith. They are denying who Jesus is. And you can't be deceived by that. You can't allow that to happen. And by the way, you don't have to allow it to happen as a believer, because God has given you someone to empower you and help you discern the deception. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But you've been anointed by the Holy One. Who's the Holy One? The Holy Spirit, who lives in us and resides in us and gives us everything we need to do what we've been called to do. John says, you're not on your own. You have the Holy Spirit living in you, and the Holy Spirit has given you all knowledge, everything you need to know. When John says you're anointed by the Spirit, that's the same thing Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, when he says you've been baptized by the Spirit. That's synonymous. Bottom line is, you now have the Spirit residing in you. He is with you and will always be with you. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. You've been anointed by the Holy One, and you have all knowledge. I write these things to you, not because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is in the truth. When we have the Holy Spirit living in us, if we're reading God's Word, it's the Spirit who helps us discern a lie from the truth. Skip down to verse 27. But the anointing you have received from Him abides in you. The Holy Spirit resides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. John's not saying no teachers, but you have the Holy Spirit, who's your primary teacher. But as His anointing teaches you about everything and is true and is no lie, just as it has taught you, abide in him. So John's saying you have the Holy Spirit living in you. He's going to help you discern truth from a lie. You still have to study. You still have to be taught. You still have to grow in your relationship. But you have the Holy Spirit there who's going to help you say, you know what? That teaching, that just doesn't seem right. And here's the truth that John drills down on. Look at verse 23 through 25. No one denies the Son who has the Father. If you have the Father, you're not going to deny the Son. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the things you heard from the beginning, if what you heard from the beginning stays with you, then you too will abide in the Son and the Son in the Father. You will remain, you will keep walking with Christ. And here's the promise that God has made for us. He has given us eternal life, and that life is in His Son. All right, three things this verse emphasizes. Here's the first one. John says, there are people who are going to try to cause you to believe what's not true. Don't fall for false teaching. Now, in order not to fall for false teaching, you got to know the truth. You got to be grounded. In order to see a counterfeit, you got to know what the real thing looks like. Do you know that? Tim Challis has seven types of a false teacher. Here's the first one, the heretic. The heretic contradicts essential teaching of the Christian faith. It may be about Jesus. It may be about the Holy Spirit. It may be about God Himself. It may be about the Trinity. It may be about salvation. It may be about a lot of different things, but the heretic says, I'm going to take the truth and I'm going to twist it. So the heretic teaches something false. The next false teacher is the charlatan. The charlatan is in it for the money. We have to know as Christians, if someone's in it for the money, as Simon Magnus was in Acts 8, he was so amazed by this new thing called Christianity and the power of the Spirit, he was trying to buy the Holy Spirit. He was offering the disciples money for the Holy Spirit. Paul says, many fall because they believe godliness is a means of gain. Heretics, number three, the prophet. The prophet is a person who claims to speak fresh revelation. And it's not in here, but God gave me this new word of revelation. When someone says that, turn it off or walk away. We're in trouble if we follow that person. The next one, the abuser. Uses position to take advantage of people. We can't follow those who are going to abuse people. The divider. Use false doctrine to disrupt or destroy a church. Many churches have been divided by someone who comes in and starts teaching false doctrine. The next one, the tickler. Teaches only the parts of the Bible that are acceptable. 2 Timothy says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. That is going on all over the place. Pastors only teaching the things that are encouraging. That's why you got to be careful with churches that only do topical sermons. Because when you teach into a book, you can't pick and choose what's next. The speculator, obsessed with presenting novelty, originality, and speculation. Listen to this. Theology has been around for a long time. A new teaching is an old heresy. Remember what John tells the people? Don't forget what you heard from the beginning. Stick with the gospel. Listen to what Challis says. Satan's greatest ambassadors are not pimps, politicians, or power brokers, but pastors. His priests do not peddle a different religion, but a deadly perversion of the true one. His troops do not make a full-out frontal assault, but work as agents sneaking into the opposing army. Satan's tactics are studied, clever, predictable, effective. Therefore, we must always remain vigilant. Here's what Jesus said. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. It's not the people who totally oppose Jesus that John's most worried about. It's those who are bringing this teaching into the church and trying to deceive. That's the first thing I want to emphasize. Here's the second thing. Be wise and discerning. The Heavenly Father loves you so much, He sent His Son to die for you on the cross. Jesus loves you so much that He went to the cross for you. He sent His Holy Spirit to live in you, to empower you, to give you everything you need to do what He's calling you to do. Be wise and discerning. God's at work in us through His Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to learn Scripture by osmosis. We still have to study. Last one. True believers persevere. It's another name for eternal security. Because of eternal security, we have assurance of our salvation. That's why John can say you can know without any doubt you are a child of God. They went out from us because they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might become plain that they were not of us. What's John saying? They didn't persevere. Now, John is not saying that as believers, it's up to us to just slug it out on our own. The doctrine of perseverance says that God is preserving us. He is with us. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I'm sure of this. God began the good work in you. He's going to bring it to completion. He will preserve you. That gives us the confidence, doesn't it? It's not us persevering, slugging it out. It's God preserving us. We're a child of God. He's never going to let us go. So what's John saying in this passage? John is saying that there are many people who come to church for reasons other than Jesus. We've got to be discerning. We've got battles going on within us, and we got people trying to deceive us from the outside. And we have to be those who know the truth so that we can discern error. That's the challenge. Ball's in your court. What are you going to do to make certain that you can, by the power of the Holy Spirit, discern error when it's standing right in front of you and not by a lie?
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Prayer. That word and the practice of it fills you with great hope and struggling doubt. You wonder, what precisely is prayer? And how can I pray in a way that God hears and responds to me? Those are the questions answered in Ron Moore's insightful devotional titled, Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. During this month-long journey, you'll learn how living in awe of God, submitting to His will, and resting in daily dependence on Him can make prayer engaging and effective. Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
There's going to be a day when you're going to stand before Him. Is it going to be with confidence or shame? Now, just to be clear, He's writing to believers. So we're not talking about heaven or hell. We're not talking about losing your relationship with Jesus. You're going to appear before Him as God's child. But when you do, will you be able to stand before Him with confidence?
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please drop by our website to order your printed copy of Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. This daily devotional will give your prayer time purpose and joy. Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life is available for a gift of any amount when you visit us at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Also, we invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? Your kind recommendation is greatly appreciated. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron again next time as we walk together on the journey.